50 years ago, a boy, he was probably 20, 22, 24, somewhere through there. He came to my father's church. He was a singer, and he sang that song. And then he told the story about how his wife had told him, if you're going to keep traveling the country and serving Jesus, I'm not going to be married to you anymore. I'm going to leave you. I'm not going to put up with it. And I don't know what happened to that fella. I hadn't heard from him half a century ago. But you know, sometimes there is a price to pay. But it's worth paying for him after what he's done for us. That's been sung about tonight, too. The great debt we owe him for what he's done for us. There's not a person in this room my age or older that hasn't been down the trail a while and had some heartache, had some negatives happen. Friend, family, or foe, but thank God he's been with us all the way.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Whatever it takes. I thought about some situations. We have a good family. My boys are saved. Their wives are saved. I'm so concerned about those grandchildren.
Yes.
Grew up in a Christian home, heard the gospel. But I want them to sell out to Jesus.
Yes.
Whatever it takes. Get them serving God. There's such a, you know, it's not me, but it's my grandfather and my father and my brothers and my little sister. And we have such a heritage of faith that God has blessed our family with.
Yes.
I don't want it to stop with us.
That's right.
I want to continue on till Jesus comes. There's not a grandparent in this room that doesn't want the grandkids all saved. I don't want the family circle to be broken. I want us all to be in glory together. I appreciate the song and all of the stuff that went on tonight, the youth choir and congregational, and it's just a blessing.
Yes.
You know, last night it wasn't even dark when we got out, but tonight it looks like it's going to be dark before we get out because it's dark already out there. But I want you to look in your book, a very familiar story in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And I want to read for your hearing the first 10 verses. You know, they sang earlier, and Jesus passed by. Isn't that a wonderful thing when Jesus passed by your life? Look at what the first verse says. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, you know, there's always going to be people like this now. He was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house, For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Now, if you have the misfortune tonight of not having a King James Bible, you're not going to find this next verse in your Bible, because it's not in 90% of the other Bibles. But why would you leave this out? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Our Father in heaven, I've been to church tonight in the last hour. It's been a blessing. And I pray, Lord, you would be so kind as to pass by our way tonight in this room. Help us to be encouraged. Help us to be blessed. Help us, Lord, to be confronted with areas in our lives that really aren't up to what they ought to be. Sometimes we get careless. Sometimes we think we're really down the road and we haven't even got out of the driveway of life. And I pray you'd help us, Lord, tonight. If there be someone this evening in this room that's not a Christian, I pray that tonight would be the night, as Jesus passed by, that they'd come to the Savior and be born again. And I ask it in Jesus' name. I want to talk to you just about, really, I think everything I want to talk to you about is in verse number 5. But I want you to notice initially this. And Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Saw him. Amen. Jesus sees us. You could say honestly tonight from your heart, he sees me. He has seen everything you have ever done in your life. Now, some of those things that Jesus has seen me do, I'm glad about it. There are other things Jesus has seen me do that there's some remorse. There's some shame. I wish I hadn't gone there. I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. What you've done in your youth, what you've done in your old age, what you've done in between, the things you said, even some of the thoughts that come to our minds. He saw you last night. He saw you last week. The acts that were performed in secret, those things that others saw. The Bible says very plainly that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. God knows what's going on. I don't want to offend the Lord. I don't want to do things in my life that would be displeasing to him. I don't want things to come from my lips that are negative and destructive and hurtful in the lives of others. You know, if we could use our mouths to reach people with the gospel and spend less time gossiping, we'd be down the road. Amen, Brother Green. He sees me. Then I like this next little phrase. The Bible said, dear Jesus came to the place. He looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus. He knew him. He knew his name. He never met him before. He didn't say, hey, shorty, come down from the tree. He didn't say that. He knows you. He knows you by name. The psalmist said he knows our down sitting and he knows our up rising. He knows your true spiritual condition. You know, you can come to church and put on airs. You can come to church and say, well, hello, brother. How are you, sister? You can do that. But God knows our hearts. God knows what we really are. He knows the attitudes and our thinking and he knows the very thoughts that you have had about this service in this room right now tonight. He knows. He knows the things that have gone through your mind, young men. He knows the things that have gone through your thinking. You know, what about this? If you had one sentence that would describe why you should be allowed into heaven, what would you say? Well, I'm a nice guy. Well, I've done some good things. I don't think any of those things would be worthwhile in getting anybody to heaven, because God knows everything about us. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes all the difference. I came across this a while ago. It's a tragic story. I don't have time to read it tonight, but it's the story of D.L. Moody there in Chicago when they had the great Chicago fire. And I wish I had a little bigger print, because it's hard for this old man to read it. But he talked about, he said, the learned and the wise, the poor, the honorable, the great, they all fled before the fire, the beggar and the thief and the harlot. They were all alike as the flames swept through the city. It was like judgment day. The mighty men, the wise men, no one could stop the flames. They were all on a level then, and many, many were worth thousands of dollars. Many were left as paupers before the next morning. When the judgment comes, there will be no difference. When the deluge came, there was no difference. Noah's ark was worth more than all the world. The day before, it was the world's laughingstock. And it had been, if it had been put up for sale, you could have bought the thing for less than firewood. But when the flood came, and then it was worth more than all the world together. And when the day of judgment comes, Christ will be worth more than all the world, than all the wealth of 1,000 worlds. Thank God tonight for those of us that have been born again. Our lives have been changed. May God help us to realize the value of salvation. Sometimes we sit around and fool around and say things that we ought not to say. I heard a thing the other day. One old codger, he said to his friend, he said, I know my wife like a book. Another guy looked at him and he said, yeah, but I bet you don't know what page she's on. A lot of truth to that. I've been married a long time. I know a lot about that. But you know what? God knows everything. God knows what it is that is stopping you from making some spiritual progress in your life. I don't want to be the same Christian next year as I am today. I don't want to be the same Christian that I was 20 years ago. There ought to be a continuous level of spiritual growth in a child of God. I want to be what He wants me to be. I want to do what He wants me to do. Our abilities, our shortcomings, all of that sometimes gets in the way of spiritual progress. Listen, I don't think it's what we bring to Him that counts. It's what He puts in us that matters. That makes all the difference in a Christian's life. God uses our nothingness, I think, to bring about His ability to show what He can do and what He has done in our lives. He makes the difference. Now, here's the thing. And this is my last little thought. I'm going to spend a little time here, though. He saw Him. He sees you. He knew Him. He knows you. But the blessed truth to me is, he said to Him, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He knows us. He sees us. But He wants us. The thrilling thing to me, the great thing, that He would want us to be a part of His family. Knows all about us, seen everything we've ever done, and he still wants us.
Yeah.
He knows what you were before you got saved. He knows the wickedness that you were involved in. But he knows everything about us after we've been saved. And all of us haven't been spotless. All of us haven't been perfect. All of us have fallen along the wayside and done some things. And like this precious song that was sung, whatever it takes for my will to break. Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. Whatever the cost, whatever the price, whatever the pain, to be what you want me to be. He knows us. He's seen us. He still wants us. He wants to work in our lives. He wants to crush the grapes and make wine to satisfy. He wants to grind the wheat to make us bread that he might feed the hungry. He's chosen you. Now choose him. Choose to serve him. Today is the day, and now is the time of salvation. This is also the time. This is also the day. There could be young people in this room. There could be middle-aged people in this room tonight that you could say in your heart, you could get in this altar again. Maybe you've already been here tonight, but you could say, God, whatever it takes in my life, may it transpire that I could be everything that you wanted to be when you passed by my life, when you knew all about me, and yet you wanted me to be in your family. What know you not? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God. You're not your own. When you get born again, you don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to him. Whatever he wants, whatever he wants to transpire in your life, whatever tragedy he may bring, whatever prosperity he may bring, whatever negative, whatever positive that he allows to come across the path of your life, let him do it.
Yes.
Make the spiritual progress that is supposed to induce in your life. I'm thank God Jesus passed by.
Yes.
I got under conviction. I probably told you this. I was under conviction for probably at least 90 days to 6 months before I got saved. Excuse me. And I believe this with all my heart. Without conviction, without Holy Ghost conviction, there will be no conversion.
That's right.
I mean, you're not going to come into church popping your gum and thinking about those old songs that the preacher talked about we're supposed to get rid of. Without that Holy Ghost conviction. I thought about when he was talking about that, and I'll come back to this in a minute. My dad, more than once, during revival meetings, we'd have, I don't remember what he called them, but people would bring their records. Some of them would bring their clothes that were inappropriate. And we'd burn them. We'd have a big 55-gallon drum, have a fire down on the bottom. And we burn records, burn clothes that was not appropriate, not what you ought to have. Some people throw their televisions out. We didn't put that in the fire. Goodness gracious, that'd have been fun though, wouldn't it? That'd have been an explosion. I remember my wife. She got saved 2 days after I did, and we weren't even married. We weren't married then, and we got married, I think. 8 months after we got saved. No, 6 months after we got saved. Better get that right or I'll be in serious trouble if she hears this, but I don't think she's listening. But anyway, she had a bunch of records. Not rock and roll and not that kind of stuff, but, just that kind of music, just music of the world.
Yeah.
And we were married when this happened. We had them at the house, and I said, honey, you got to get rid of these records. We're not going to have them. She said, okay, Tim. And she had a stack about this high. I had one record. It was the 1968 Detroit Tigers World Series, and they replayed, great things about it. Now, you young people don't know anything about this. We didn't have all the junk you got now to listen to. We had records. They were that big around. We didn't have anything back then, hardly. And you think about it. I said, now, I don't know, Sandra, if I am going to throw away the 1968. There is nothing bad on this record. She said, if I'm throwing away a stack like that, you're throwing away the 1968 World Series Tigers victory. And I did. I did. If anybody's got one, I'll take it. But I don't even have a record player anymore, so it'd be a waste of time. God help us. He passed by your life. He knows your name. He knows all about us. And yet he wants us to be his child. Better than that, we're going to go live with him one day. We're going to live in his land, Beulah land. Mansions are built there for us. The streets are gold. I used to go, I think, all through the decade of the 70s and into the early 80s. I preached there for Dr. Ray one year in Myrtle, Mississippi, and I think 1982, just the year before he passed away or so. But we used to go down to that great camp meeting. Really, it was the granddad of the camp meetings, the Baptist camp meetings, I think, in America. And one year, there would be 3,000 people at the thing. And one year, he had a guy come there to sing. Honestly, he was the ugliest human being I think I'd ever seen in my life. His head was about this long, but real thin face. So any of you ugly people here tonight, you're beautiful compared to him, I tell you. And he was a terrible-looking person. And so Dr. Ray had him come up to sing. But before he sang, he said, I want you to give your testimony. He told about how he'd grown up, and he was the ugliest kid in the neighborhood, of course, and everybody made fun of him and laughed at him. He said, my parents were ashamed of me. He said, when guests would come over, even family members, uncles and aunts and cousins, they'd make me go out in the chicken house, go out behind the chicken house. Sometimes they'd make me go get underneath the porch, stay there. He said, one time they were so embarrassed about me, and they put me under the sink and closed the door on the cupboard door there. And he said, I stayed there for days and days and days. They didn't even know where I was. He wasn't really embarrassed about it necessarily, just telling the truth, just a very, very terrible looking man. But he sang a song that night, and he had a wonderful voice, really. And it's an old song by Elbert Brumley. Elbert Brumley, I think, wrote it in 1935, and the lyrics go like this. I'm not going to sing. Someday I shall stand in God's city to receive the bright treasures I've won. But how can I ever accept them till I thank him for what he's done? What a joy as I stand and listen to the songs of the city above. But a tear in my eyes may glisten when I thank him for what he has done. They say there will be no more sighing in the city when life's race is won. But how can I keep from crying when I thank him for what he has done? Before I can shout hallelujah, before I can sing that sweet song, I must kneel at the feet of Jesus and thank him for what he has done. And the chorus went like this. I might find the tune when I thank him for what he has done. And I look at the crucified one. On that beautiful shore, I will kneel once more just to thank him for what he has done. He saw him. He knew him. He said, I want to go live at your house. Yep.
Aren't you glad he lives at your house? Aren't you glad one day you accepted him into your life, and now he lives at your house? There's people in this room tonight. You may have a wayward child. You may have a wayward mate. You may have others that are breaking your heart. Tonight, I think there's somebody here in this room that Jesus is passing by. You're getting that opportunity. You're getting that opportunity tonight for him to come and dwell in the house of your heart, to move into your life. I'm glad tonight he lives inside of us. We belong to him. We belong to him forever. Just to thank him for what he has done. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. I'm glad for your grace. I'm glad that you wanted me. I don't think you were getting much. I still don't think you got much. But I want you to know I'm yours. I'll do what you want me to do in my life. I surrender all, whatever it takes for my will to break. God, I pray you'd help us tonight. May the dear Holy Ghost deal with people at a depth, perhaps, they haven't experienced in a while. I think, Lord, as we get older, we're afraid of giving the Lord what we have left ahead of us. But I know, Lord, you can do great things with the leftovers. We've learned that in the New Testament a lot. I pray you'd help us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Just go ahead and play. Let's stand our feet. If you need to come tonight and do a little business with the Lord or big business with the Lord, I wish you'd come. He saw you. He wants you. He knows everything there is to know about you. Why don't you come and give him your life? Give him your all. Go ahead, sing a verse of that. Come.